right into the Word here. I believe what I have is a message of hope. Amen. And so we're going to share that today. And hallelujah. All right, let's go right on into the Word. Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to look at two verses, verses 20 and 21. Now the God of peace, I'm going to do like an English teacher, I'm just going to separate it here. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Verse 21, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the everlasting covenant, and that is a message of hope. If you pay attention to the daily news, and many of us do very long, guess what? All you're going to hear is bad news. Anybody ever hear bad news? Especially from the mainstream media. And yes, guess what? America as a whole is in some hard times. It really is. And it didn't just start this year. It started quite a while back. And the world's not getting any better. We know that. We know that judgment is coming because of the choices that America has made, because of the laws that have been allowed to be passed, not just this last year and years before, and decisions that have been allowed to take place at the highest levels of our government. God is going to judge. Can you say amen? Amen. And this morning, as the calendars have been turned now to show 2022, I'm glad I know that I have Jesus Christ, that Prince of Peace, who is my only hope. Can you say amen? Amen? He's our only hope. And guess what? He's living inside of us. And He guides my every step. And guess what? There are still many, many around us who do not know that there is a hope. And that's what we're here for. That's why we're here, to share that hope. And we could take all day to talk about what the enemy has in store for us as Americans, but I'm not here to do that. I'm not going to do that. But here's what I believe I'm going to tell you. Their hit list is long. And as I have mentioned many times, sadly, it does include veterans and patriots and those that believe in the Constitution and in those who believe in lower taxes and smaller government. We're all on that hit list. You got to know that. Those who believe the family consists of a man and a woman and their offspring, they're on the hit list. Those who believe in the sanctity of life, especially for the unborn, guess what? They're on the hit list too. And even Bible-believing Christians are on the list. And now they've added another one, and that's the anti-vaxxers that have been added, meaning those that do not want to be jabbed over and over by untested and unproved and unapproved vaccines. Guess what? We are the terrorists now. You've got to know that. And sadly, the real terrorists are being rewarded with money and weapons and flown over here to live amongst us. And that's truth. That is the truth. You've got to know that. So yes, we need to be ready in any disaster or adversity, whether it's natural or it's man-made, that might come our way. Can you say amen? Amen. There's the coronavirus that's out there. And then attached to that, they had the Delta variant. They had the Omicron variant that came along. And I heard this morning out of Israel, they had the Florona. The Florona is the next variant. And they said that the flu, a certain type of flu, has connected with corona, and so they're calling it Florona, and therefore you need a fourth jab. So guess what? It doesn't stop. It will not stop. It'll continue. But guess what? I know the Alpha and the Omega. And he's going to take care of any Delta that comes along. Amen? And we as the church, you got to know, we're going to play an important role in the area of those that need help. That's why we're here, to bring hope and help, both spiritually and physically. Amen. So therefore, guess what? We need to watch and pray as the Bible says. And I do believe again that God's judgment is coming. But before it comes, I believe there's coming that great last awakening of revival to the land. And right now, evil is at work across our land. And it's only going to increase. Why? To usher in the Antichrist. It's going to happen. But I believe in the midst of the chaos and in the midst of the evil work from evil men and women that's rooted from the devil himself, there is an awakening that has begun to sweep across the world. And I said this last week, while Christians are being slaughtered across the Middle East and in Africa and especially Nigeria, and the churches they close the people up in the churches and set them on fire. And that's happened over there in Africa. In the midst of all of that, like I said last Sunday, the Muslims are coming to Christ by the hundreds, if not the thousands. They're becoming believers as they experience visions and dreams of Jesus Christ coming to them. So what hope do we have in this hour, as we know then the devil desires the souls of men? What hope do we have then in this hour, as we know for a fact the devil desires the souls of men? The Bible tells us so. Jesus said that. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy everything around us and ourselves. And that's what I want to talk to you today for just a little while, if you'll allow me to do that. As believers, then, again, we know the only hope that we have is Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer. Are you glad you've been redeemed? And what brings that stabilizing force of peace, then, in our lives is understanding, watch this now, what we gain when we become, or when we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. What do you get when you become into that relationship? Here's our text again. Let me just read it one more time. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. So right at the start of 2022, again, I want to talk to you on this morning on the subject of the everlasting covenant. And if you feel that you already know all there is to know about it, then I'm just asking you to please be patient. Because it doesn't hurt to hear it again. And if you have forgotten it for whatever reason, well, here it is. And I'm telling, for every young person, listen to this today, and that way you'll understand. When you become a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, and you join then the family of God, not only are you an heir with God, but you enter into a covenant with Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth. What is a covenant? That's a pledge or a treaty or an agreement. And it so happens this is the one of the most important words in the Bible, the word covenant, because God keeps covenant or keeps that pledge, keeps that agreement with his family. And again, as Christians, as believers, we are children of God. We belong to the family of God. God made a covenant or a contract with man in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament part of your Bible is the Old Covenant. And the New Testament is the New Covenant, the New Agreement, the New Contract. Israel then was a nation of people that lived by and relied on their covenant with God. Those who knew their God and the integrity of their covenant with Him were mighty. And they did exploits in His name. Why? Because they knew they had a covenant with Almighty God. Amen. David was a prime example of that. He credited his covenant with God as the power behind his ability to slay the lion and the bear and the giant. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, we have the story of David and Goliath. And we find David there in verse 26 of that chapter asking the men around him, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And in verse 37, we see that young boy David assuring King Saul that he was well able to slay Goliath. Here's what he said: "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." Well, we know circumcision was the sign of the covenant. And by calling Goliath then uncircumcised, David was making a very strong and pointed statement. He may be a giant, he may be strong, but he has no covenant with my God. Amen. And that's why I'm going to kill him. That's why I can kill him. Of course, we all know the rest of the story. David bravely slew Goliath in the name of the Lord because of his covenant that he had with his God. And the book of Hebrews then promises that we now have an even better covenant with than David had. Our covenant, listen, had better promises. But to know exactly how much better they are, we must first understand what the promises of the old covenant were. Will y'all stay with me for just a little while this morning? I wanted to do this. I intended to do it last week. And the Lord said, "No, you preach on what you last week about the river." But this is the first Sunday of the new year. We're going forward. We're marching forward. We're walking forward. We're not looking back. Amen? Amen. The covenant that David stood on was made long before he faced the giant. God established it with a man called Abram. And he promised then to make Abram the father of many nations. He promised then to give him a great deal of land as an inheritance so that his descendants could live peacefully on that land. And in Deuteronomy 28, you will find more very specific promises that God made to Abraham's descendants. It was promises of health. It was promises of well-being. It was promises of blessings. It was promises of victory. These were awesome promises back then. But it was hard, watch this, it was hard for Abram to believe at first that God actually wanted to do these things for him. In Genesis chapter 15, then we read how God then made a blood covenant or a blood agreement with Abram in order to convince Abram once and for all that he meant what he said. In the 8th verse of the 15th chapter of Genesis, we find Abram asking God, "Well, how shall I know that I will inherit this land? I believe you, but how am I going to know?" Well, the Lord answered him by telling him to prepare then a blood covenant. And here's what he said. It's in verses 9 and 10. You take an heifer for three years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And so he took unto him all of these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against the other, but the birds he divided he not. You have to understand now, in Abram's day, the blood covenant signified an absolute and unbreakable guarantee of man's word. So nothing short of a blood covenant could have convinced Abram of God's desire to bless him. So by cutting the covenant with Abram, Almighty God was communicating His unfailing love and His faithfulness on a level that Abram then could understand. Jehovah God was establishing a love relationship back then with Abram that could not be broken without the penalty of death. And now, in order for us to see just how the covenant compares then to the one we now have with our Heavenly Father today, we need to see then the covenant that God cut with Abram and what it involved. That way we can begin then to see clearly why our covenant is even better, Sister North. Understand that in Abram's society, when two families made covenant together, they gave to one another everything they had and all they represented. They were no longer two, but they were one. Families bound together in blood agreements in order to fill in the gaps created by each other's weaknesses and their needs. Where the first tribe then was strong, the second one might be weak. And in the areas where the second tribe was strong, the first tribe was weak. And so together, guess what, Brother Tony? They became strong. These two families then drew up the terms of their agreement and discussed them until every in each article was fully and mutually agreeable. And then they chose representatives and a place then to cut covenant. And as they prepared for a solemn ceremony, at least three large animals were sacrificed. And then their carcasses were split down the spine, right down the middle, and the halves were placed on the ground opposite of each other. The results then was a trail of blood between the two halves. And this path was called the way of blood. When the covenant ceremony began, the two representatives exchanged their coats. This signified the mutual exchange of authority. But by this act of the covenant, representatives were saying, all that I do and all that I have is now yours. Do y'all see a connection between the covenant of marriage? Next, the covenant representatives exchanged their weapons. Through this, they were saying, my strength is now your strength, and your enemies are now my own enemies. And after the coats and the weapons were exchanged, then came the walk of the blood. Twice the representatives walked through that path, through that way of blood there between those halves of those animals. And then they would stop in the center and where they had pronounced their pledges of loyalty, making promises to each other that could never be broken. This pronouncement was called the blessing of the covenant. And a curse was also pronounced. The curse was the penalty for breaking the terms of that agreement. And they swore by their God, thereby making Him the third party to the agreement. Next came the cut of the covenant. The representatives cut their hands and they cut their wrist and they bound them together so their blood would intermingle. And this is where then our handshake is derived from. After their loyalty was sworn to each other, the families joined their names together as a permanent sign that they had become one. Finally, they ate a covenant meal of bread and wine together. And the bread signified their flesh, and the wine signified their blood. The covenant meal was represented then their willingness and their commitment to lay down their lives for each other. Such a blood covenant was very serious, and it was solemn in Abram's day. And so that is why God chose to make a covenant with Abram. He wanted to convince Abram that his promises were true as well. He wanted him to understand that the great El Shaddai, Almighty God, desired an unbreakable relationship with him and with his children after him. God wanted Abram to know without a doubt that he loved him and that he would care for him, not because he had to, but because he wanted to, Brother Gary. By making blood covenant with him, Almighty God proved that he wanted to exchange his strength with him. He wanted to exchange his weapons and his authority with Abram. He proved that he wanted to bless man for 1,000 generations. Romans 4 and verse 21 tells us that Abram got the message. Here's what it said. He became fully persuaded from God that God was able to perform that which he had promised, and his life was never the same again. We see this in Genesis chapter 22. There God asked Abraham then to place his only son Isaac on the altar and sacrifice him. How could he do this, especially after promising Abraham that he would become the father of many nations through his son? We would expect Abraham then to be distraught upon such a request. Even his name then was changed to Abraham, meaning the father of many nations. And eventually Isaac, the long-awaited son of promise, was born to Abraham and his wife Sarah. And years after Isaac's birth, that covenant was still strong in Abraham's mind. And nothing, not even a request from God himself, could shake his conscience or what he thought about it. We would expect him to wring his hands and pace the floor all night in grief and in anguish that he was going to have to sacrifice his son. But you have to understand, we're not as covenant-minded as Abraham was. Abraham was confident in his covenant. He went to sleep that night, and he rose up early the next morning, ready to go. And when he took Isaac up on the mountain of sacrifice, we find this little part. He turned to his servant, and he said, "Wait here, the boy and I will be back." Why do you suppose he would say that? Because he had a covenant with Almighty God. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19 says that Abraham, by faith, already received Isaac from the dead. God promised him Isaac would make him the father of many nations, and he knew God would not possibly then break his promise, even though he had never seen or heard of such a thing. Abraham reasoned that God would just raise Isaac back up if he had to. He knew that God would do whatever it took to keep the covenant that they had with each other. And when Abraham then laid his son down on that altar of sacrifice, he opened the way then for God, his covenant partner, to do the same thing with his flesh, his only son, Jesus, on the cross years later. But now here's an important point for us to realize. Jesus did not just appear on the scene at that time. He'd been involved in the covenant from the very beginning. The truth is, according to Galatians 3:16, while God was binding himself in covenant to Abraham on earth, he was also making covenant in heaven. Here is what it says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. He hath not, and to seeds, he saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to that seed, which is Christ." Abraham then was the earthly representative, and Jesus was the heavenly representative. Hebrews 6:13 says, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by no one greater, he swore to himself." Almighty God was making covenant with someone he knew would never break it, and thereby removing the need for a curse. So, Pastor, how in the world does all of this then apply to me today that we're living in, the beginning of 2022? Can't believe we've made it this far. I didn't think we'd make it to the year 2000. But guess what? Here we are, 2022. Galatians 3:29 is the binding tie. And here's what it says. "And if you be Christ," in other words, if you belong to Christ, "then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? Listen, we are the unborn generations who looked on as God cut that covenant with Abram as the father of our covenant faith. Romans 8:17 calls us joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Through the new covenant, God has promised then to care for me and for you. And this is for somebody this morning. This new covenant is better than the old covenant. When you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, you're going to find all those blessings that are promised to those who keep the terms of the agreement. And yes, how many know they're wonderful promises? And it's hard to imagine that there would be anything better than those. But if you keep reading, you're going to find the curses that will fall on those who break the agreement. Stay with me now. And that's where our covenant differs. Although we ourselves have been guilty of breaking the terms of the covenant, listen now, we've been freed from the penalty of it. From the time that Jesus was born until he died on Calvary, he never broke the terms of the covenant. Yet when he went to the cross, he bore the curse for us, breaking that curse. Breaking the covenant. Why do you suppose that is? So that you and I would never have to bear that curse by yourselves. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, it says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us." He became a curse. "For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Listen, every demonic and diabolical thing, including the coronavirus and all of its variants, and all other viruses that could ever come against us during our lifetime, including our future, was placed on Jesus Christ when he went to the cross. Can you say amen? He bore the penalty for our sin. He bore all of our sicknesses and he carried all of our diseases. He totally stripped the devil of his power to harm you and I. But does he still try? Absolutely. He goes about as a roaring lion. But guess what? That lion doesn't have a tooth in his head. We have the authority to use the power that he's given us. He bore the curse for us so we could receive then the blessings of Abraham through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ then became the sacrificial lamb, watch this, that established our new covenant. The book of Hebrews says that we have a new and living way then to approach God. Remember what I said about the way of blood. Listen, the blood of Jesus then has made the way for us to have a covenant relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's something to be excited about. In Jesus' own words, he said, "I am the truth and I am the life." Jesus, listen, he was not only the blood sacrifice, but guess what? He also became our representative. He was the mediator between God and man. 1 John 2:1 says, "We have an advocate or a lawyer with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." He was not only then the blood sacrifice, not only was he the representative. Listen now, he was also the covenant meal. I'm telling you, I'm getting excited. John 6:51, here's what Jesus said. "I am the living bread which comes down from heaven. And if any man eat of this bread, he shall what? Live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." When you understand then covenant terminology, then you can see that thread of relationship woven all through the New Testament. Let's look together then in a new light, if you please, at what Ephesians, so very familiar, Ephesians 6:10-11, and then verses 13-17. Here's what it says, and now you can understand. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Why? We got a covenant. "And in the power of His might." It's not our might, it's His. Why? Because we're in covenant with Him. And then look what he says. "Put on the whole armor of God," Paul's writing, "that ye may be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks of the devil." Notice it's his armor now that we're putting on. Ephesians 6:13-17. "Wherefore take unto you," what? "The whole armor of God." You're taking his armor and putting it on, "that you may be able to withstand in the evil day," and having done all to stand. Why? We have a covenant. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Verse 16, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Those are his weapons. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." So what we have just read is that Jesus has exchanged his weapons and his armor with you and with me. And he's made us strong in the power of his might. In other words, he has exchanged our weaknesses for his strength. And through our covenant relationship, we are now one with him. Realize with me this morning that Jesus took our sin and he gave us his robe of righteousness and his right standing with God. He has become so totally one with us that he has given us the authority then to use his name. Mark 16:17 says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, they shall cast out devils." And as we go now, watch this, as we go through 2022 and all that unfolds, remember the devil with all his plans has no legal right to be interfering in any of our affairs. And guess what? You have the authority to tell him to back off. Amen. To back off. And it gets better. Hold on now. Tell your neighbor it gets better. Just hold on. Just hold on. Okay. The new covenant does not depend on our ability to keep it, Brother Tony. It depends on Jesus' ability to keep it. Just like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, just like David, we have a covenant with Almighty God. And just like Abraham was fully persuaded, we can be ourselves fully persuaded that what God has promised, He is able to perform it. Just like David, here we go now, we can stand on the covenant and whip any circumstances that come our way. We can take care of any situation that comes our way. Any opposition that will come our way in the days and the weeks and the months to come. Any lie from the enemy that tells us we're not good enough, that we're insignificant, that we don't measure up, that things will never change. How many know that's lies from the devil? Well, you just need to have some regret that you didn't do this and do that. No matter how big the giant looks, understand we can beat it. Would you tell your neighbor we can beat it? Why are we able to do that? Because our covenant is better. It does not carry with it a curse anymore. All the curses listed in Deuteronomy 28, all 53 verses of those curses. Listen, you really have to get this in your spirit. Christ freed us from every one of them. And that includes every diabolical thing the devil could ever use to destroy us. I'm telling you now, this morning, we can sit down with our cup of coffee, and I love to do that, and prop my feet up in my easy chair, and one of them dogs is going to jump in my lap. We can sit down with that cup of coffee in the morning and open our Bibles to Deuteronomy 28 and read about all the curses, and we can rejoice. Did you know that? We can read straight through that list of curses and rejoice. But Pastor, why in the world would you want to rejoice over something like that? Because they are the things that God has healed us of, and they are the things that He has delivered us from. Can I get an amen this morning? Jesus paid an incredible price for it, and you can be delivered today because He bore them on the cross. Jesus became the covenant sacrifice for us, proving once and for all how intently He desires, or how intensely He desires to love us and to bless us. Jesus tells us in His own words, He came to bring us life, and that more abundantly. And if we'll believe the Word of God, and if we'll take it for us personally, then I promise you, in the midst of a chaotic world falling apart around us, as we stay sensitive to His voice, we will supernaturally prosper and be divinely protected and walk in divine peace at the same time. Let me say it again. I promise you, in the midst of a chaotic world falling apart all around us, as we stay sensitive to His voice, we will supernaturally prosper. Oh, but the stock market's crashing, Pastor. The housing market is crashing. We will supernaturally prosper. We'll be divinely protected and walk in divine peace at the same time. So, let me just ask all of us this morning, knowing what you know now, is there anybody in here this morning that would be willing to let Him do what He needs to be done in your life? I, for one, want Him to do what He needs to do. Reith, would you come one more time? Listen, Jesus is getting his bride ready, and we, the church, are his bride. Logan, you just keep on sharing what the Lord gives you. We needed to hear what he had to say this morning. I said it last Sunday, and I'm saying it again today. You don't have to live a life of shame. You don't have to live a life of guilt and condemnation and worry and fear. Jesus came to set us all free. And we of all people should realize that we can walk in peace and we can walk in calmness. We can walk in victory and we can walk under his protection and we can overcome and we can thrive, not just survive. I don't want to just barely get by. Well, Pastor, that's all I want to do. I just need just a little enough to pay my bills. And that's all I need, a little food. No, I want to thrive. I want to help somebody. I want to help somebody else. I want to walk by and take a 20 or a 100 out of my pocket and put it in the palm of somebody else. If you're still hurting inside because of the past, let him heal you today. We heard, don't look back. Don't walk back. Don't go through 2022 with emotional baggage weighing you down. Did you know a lot of people still have a lot of baggage that they deal with? A lot of regret, a lot of rejection. That's a biggie from the enemy. Spirit of rejection, it'll kill you. It'll paralyze you if you don't let that go. Let him heal the hurts of people's words that's spoken over you. Anybody have a hurtful word ever spoken about you or over you? Absolutely. Allow him to touch your lips to begin speaking positive things, even over your own life. Listen, he can do it and he will do it, but you have to desire to be changed. Did you know that's the key? I've just told you the key. You have to be willing to be changed. You got to be willing to let him do it. It's your choice to choose life. One last portion of scripture. I read it last Sunday. Philippians 1 and 6. Paul writes, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, till the day Jesus Christ returns. What's Paul saying? There's no doubt in his mind that God will finish what he started in us right up to when Jesus comes back for us. We're still a work in progress. Did you know that? But I'm telling you, God is coming back for a strong and mighty church. Wrinkle-free. No wrinkle. No wrinkles. I love to watch those advertisements, you know. They put that stuff on your eye, under your eyelids, and that pouch just disappears. And it has the minutes and the seconds just counting down. And you see that man, his little pouches under his eyes just start to disappear. Then you got to do it again, and you got to do it again. Oh, well. I love my little pouches, if there's any up there. They're there in the morning time. Somehow they disappear. But anyway, remember this one thing. We have a new covenant with our Heavenly Father. And we have a work still to do. Guess what? It's not time to head to the hills or hide ourselves in the mountains. It's time to shine, Brother Charlie. So the Lord reminded him he needs to be a light. That's what he said this week. That's exactly right. It's time to shine like never before. How many know we're to be that city set on a hill and bring as many people as we can to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Can we do it this morning? Can we begin that this morning? Just thinking brand new with our minds, our thoughts, our lives. Again, just remember, we have an everlasting covenant. And yes, there is hope. We have a hope, and that's Jesus Christ. And that's what we can share with the world. Amen? All right. We're going to do communion again today. Brother Tony, would you come? And Brother Clint's going to help you. Brother Garen, would you come? Brother Charlie's going to help you. in that. Would y'all come and hallelujah, just remain seated and hallelujah. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Brother Darren. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just go ahead and peel that little piece off the top. You have your bread. Don't be afraid to take communion. If you're a believer, if you have Jesus living inside you, there's no reason why you can't. He does tell us to examine ourselves, and we're going to do that. We're going to examine our hearts here in just a moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah. We did this all through December. We're going to continue here in January. Just feel that. I'm not letting it become just a common thing in my life every week. I'm telling you, it's like it's something new every Sunday, every week. This is what helps me get through the week. Just know the enemy's going to come. He's going to try every trick in the book. If you get blessed on Sunday, guess what? Monday, something's going to come. I'm not speaking that, but it normally does. But we cast all those things down. We bind them in Jesus' name today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, mighty God. We thank you, mighty God. All right, let's take the bread. Lord, I thank you for this bread representing your body that was broken for us. We want to remember it, Lord. You said to do this in remembrance of you. So we thank you now. We thank you for your body that was broken for us. In Jesus' name, let's partake of the bread. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for healing today. Those watching online, in Jesus' name, Lord, we speak a supernatural healing to come into our bodies, from the head to the soles of our feet, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for a renewed immune system, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that you're strengthening them right now. You're strengthening our immune system right now. I thank you for it. I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. From the head to our toes, you're doing a work right now. We thank you for healing. We thank you in Jesus' name. And right now, we thank you, Lord, for the blood that you shed for us. You took on our sins. Your blood was shed. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for it today, Lord. In Jesus' name, let's partake of the cup. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ha ha. Woo! Thank you, mighty God. Lord, I praise you this morning. All right, let's all stand together. I come across this declaration. I want us to say it today as we prepare to close today. Hallelujah. Such an awesome presence from the beginning of the service today, Sister North. The team just ushered in the presence of God. As you worshiped, you welcomed the Spirit of the Lord. He's in this place today. Hallelujah. All right. Would you just declare this over your life after me today? Would you say, this new year will be a supernatural year for me as the Lord leads me and guides me by His Holy Spirit, who dwells on the inside of me. I will not have one day wasted, but I shall be led by the Holy Spirit. As the Lord leads me, when I get to the place, it shall open up to me. This year shall be a year of increase, a year of great blessing, a year of great harvest, a year of multiplication, and it shall be supernatural. Between now and the end of 2022, I shall see the hand of the Lord. Hallelujah. Would you worship the Lord with a hand clap today? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh my gosh, look at it. It's 11 till 12 on my new watch. Hallelujah. Brandon doesn't have to point to me, you know, on my new. All right, we got time. I love you. God bless you. If you need prayer, I'm right here. Thank you for watching online. May the Lord be with you and bring us back. Remember, we're going to be here Wednesday night. It's a good time to come and just seek the Lord and seek His face and pray together.